Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here. Bo Matthews in studio. Producer Chad Ellis in studio as well. You may be listening to us on 97.1 FM Talk. That's the only time I'm going to do this, Steve, if you're listening. You might be listening to us on 97.1 FM Talk. You might be listening to us on KMOX. We've been on 97.1 for about coming up on 2 years now, and we are now thrilled to also be airing this show on KMOX. So our sister station, The Voice of St. Louis, and we are so proud to have that happening now for us. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, pretty self-explanatory. We are going to every week talk about guns, gun rights, gun laws. We answer a lot of your questions that you can send my way on Twitter at TonyColombo971. And we are going to talk about, like, for example, rifle season just started. And so we'll talk hunting, we'll talk fishing, we'll talk camping, we'll talk outdoor sportsman stuff. So all of that is what we do here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We're going to start the show, as we do every week, with my friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, who has been on this show since day one. And it's great to talk to you, my friend. Aaron, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I can't complain. I have some questions, as I always do for you. I want to pick your brain on a couple of issues happening in this world. But first, tell folks about Southern Armory and what is happening out there.
Well, we just got the new update for our firearms training simulator. And I was in playing with it the other day, and it was awesome. And what I've created is a zombie junkie, out of my daughter, Piper. She's like, literally.
She loves to kill zombies?
Yeah, she's zombie this, she's zombie that. And I'm like, what did I do? This is great. So we got a new update, and there's just a ton of new scenarios to come in and practice with from the defensive standpoint for justifiable use of a firearm, or from the entertainment use of, you know, zombies and the other entertainment factors that we have on there. This is more than just that, the zombies too. There's the other thing that Piper and I like to do is shoot balloon animals, and they have like a balloon safari, and they have like crocodiles and giraffes and elephants and stuff. So She loves making bubbles, is what she calls them. She loves making the bubbles pop. So
yeah, that's awesome. But you can also do things like home defense situations. So you can
absolutely.
You can play it kind of like a video game, but it's more than a video game, because the gun is actual size and weight. And if you do those more realistic scenarios, it's good, legitimate training, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and we have two types of firearms. We have one that, if you just want to focus on your fundamentals of marksmanship, you can do that. And then we have another one that, if you want to add in the element of recoil, you can do that. So they're both like Glock style pistols. The one is a Glock, and it has a recoil kit in it, and you know, you actually get the recoil out of the firearm, so it's like shooting the real deal. And it's far less expensive to come in and use the firearms training simulator than to actually go to the range.
Yeah.
By the time you buy the ammunition, buy the targets, pay for the hour on the lane, if you bring a friend with you, you know, you're spending $100-$150+ for just an hour at the range, where this is like $60.
And so, the question for you, Aaron, is it, can you describe it? Is it a room that's got green screen, or is it like a Pac-Man video game kind of thing?
So, yeah, so it's an actual room. So the screen is about 13 feet high.
Wow.
Yeah, and probably about 15 feet, 16 feet wide, and projects on the wall in front of you. There's the projector, and then there's two cameras overhead. And the cameras have lenses, filters on them, lenses that go on them, and makes it where it picks up the IR signature off of the laser from either the firearm that has no recoil or the recoil firearm. And we even have an AR-15 if you want to use that as well.
That is awesome.
And the computer knows where you're shooting. And then, you know, scores it appropriately. So if you're doing a defensive situation, it knows. If you're shooting zombies, everybody knows you gotta shoot them in the head. So it just knows. There's a great demo video on SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
Yeah. See yeah, there? And, we still got that touch.
Yeah. I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
There you go, y'all. There's that voice, baby.
Yeah,
right.
Love it. Go to the website, and you can click on Firearms Training Simulator on the left, or if you wait, the banner ad will scroll through, and you can just click on that, and it'll take you right through.
Yep. Hey, Aaron, before we run out of time, I really want to dive into one of these topics.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court ruled this week that the Sandy Hook families can sue Remington because that was what the gunmen used at Sandy Hook. We've got 2 minutes. Tell me what your reaction to that was and what you think about that Supreme Court ruling and how dangerous it could be.
So, complete shock. I was sitting there like, are you kidding me? And then you really dive in, you start reading the article more, and they're not using it as the facet we all think they are. They're suing it under like a like, you ever see the movie Zombieland, where he's like, false advertising, right, where they're in there with the fried Twinkies. And they're suing it basically because they promoted the weapon as a military-style weapon. And not because it was, quote, used. So it's kind of weird because, you know, now, you know, they're going to allow lawsuits, I guess, based on how the product was advertised. So kind of strange. Most lawsuits I've seen in the past in the firearms industry have been because of, like, faulty product. Remington had a lawsuit out for their 700s for the trigger mechanism that was bad. Mm-hmm. And it was going off accidentally, and there were some deaths around the country, et cetera. So it was more of a product liability standpoint. So I think it's dangerous, slippery slope, right?
Yeah, Pandora's box.
Yeah, because now you have manufacturers like Daniel Defense who you know, says it's like, you know, like military grade, right? And then everybody says, well, my gun is mil-spec, so what does that mean? The common person probably doesn't know what mil-spec is. It's just the military standard where all the components are really going to just interchange with one another. So if you take that outside the firearms industry, and let's say apply it to knives. Now people that cut towards themselves or, you know, and hurt themselves, or we have a mass knifing, which is common in Great Britain and China and Japan. Now all of a sudden,
are those manufacturers going to be held responsible? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And it's going to be very interesting to see how all of this plays out, because that is going to really tell the story. Because the first time that you know, somebody gets ran over by a car and somebody wants to sue Ford because the guy was driving a Ford, or like you said, the knife situation. You know, we're going to be really tangled up in a mess. And I think that in the with the gun situation, we're already going to be tangled up in a big mess as well.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, we are just about out of time. One more time, real quick, how can people find Southern Armory and learn more about that fine store?
Absolutely. Come in, visit us. We're 1 mile east of 270 and 44, 9901 Watson Road, southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
You don't get to do
it. I was going to give Bo a chance.
All right, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
SouthernArmory.com.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a good addition to that team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, social Southern Armory. We've got an Instagram. We've got a Twitter. And then Second Amendment Radio on Facebook. I do little web stuff on their lives and whatnot.
That's right.
In between the shows.
Yep, very good. Aaron, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week, my friend.
All right, definitely. All right, talk to you next week.
You
Bye.
Bet. Got to take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk to the boys from Osage County Guns joining us in studio. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Hello, and welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo in studio with Bo Matthews, producer Chad Ellis. And now, as I mentioned in the last segment, joining us in the studios, our friends from Osage County Guns, John and Jake. It is great to see you guys. First off, how you guys doing, and how are things out in Wright City, Missouri?
Great, great. Thank you so much again for the invitation and for having us in studio. We are excellent. Can't complain at all. You know, a little snow here and there, but
yeah, right.
You know, it's going. We're staying busy as always. And as we have, we're actually still bringing in more new product into the store. We just brought in one or two new lines to kind of fill in some more gaps. So we've got like 40 or 50 new firearm SKUs that we didn't have out there before.
I don't know where you're putting them.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's the problem. Yeah, we've got to find a home now. We're running out of space.
Anyone who has not been out to Osage County Guns in Wright City yet, you have got to get out there and see it. It is a beautiful, brand new store with thousands, literally thousands of firearms in stock. 6,000 square feet of the retail store. Is that right?
That's right.
And so all the firearms, of course, all the gear, all the accessories, it's awesome. And I think the last time that you were on the show with us was right after the official grand opening. You guys have actually been open out there in Wright City for a little while now. I was out there during the sort of soft opening period. Now it's full-blown. Grand opening has come and gone. You guys are full steam ahead. For anybody who didn't hear you last time you were on or are just getting to know Osage County Guns, just the real quick, you know, like what was the reason for building out there in Wright City? Why such a gigantic store, you know, with, you know, I can't imagine the overhead and the inventory that you guys have to deal with. I was in the back room on a little tour when I was there, and I can't believe the amount of inventory that you guys are managing. It is amazing. And literally, if you're gonna go buy a gun, if you're buying a shotgun for hunting season, like we're a rifle for hunting season, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes, home defense or just any sport shooting, anything, you guys have a selection, a full selection on every type of gun you could think of. So just kind of talk about the genesis of Osage County Guns and where you guys came from and started at.
So we started at our prior location in Bell, Missouri, outside of Bell, and started out as a little brick-and-mortar gun store. And we essentially evolved into a big internet operation. It took us a number of years to grow and build and reinvest in the company. But, you know, we grew and slowly added new lines and found new niches. And the inventory just kept on growing and growing. And at that location, we kept expanding and remodeling and adding storage and everything. And we kind of just hit the point where we were out of space. And we knew that we wanted to move to a different location that would be more visible, more easily accessed to the public, and where we could have a nice retail store to show off the inventory that was just sitting in our warehouse. And so it took us a couple of years, but we settled in on Wright City and worked with the city, very accommodating. The everything about the zoning and the affordability of Wright City was really the perfect home for us. And so, got the construction finished and we moved at the beginning of this year and opened up. We started initially just keeping the internet operation running. And then in April, we opened the retail store.
And people will drive to a place like that. They'll drive hour, 2 hours, and of course you have the online stuff, but it's an attraction now.
Yep.
Because it is so big.
It is.
Although I only hear it's big, I haven't seen it in person.
There,
I haven't been invited, but
it's
that's
incredible.
Okay.
They're open to the public, Bo.
Oh, good. Okay, no invitation needed. But you know, people hear, ooh, Wright City. I'm in Kirkwood. But they drive.
They do. And even at our old location, we had a lot of customers drive 2, 3, even 4 hours. They would drive from Kansas City because we had such a wide selection of products from Nighthawk Custom or STI, Ed Brown, high-end firearms that they couldn't see anywhere in the state. And they would drive because we had them.
Right.
And
good,
you know, they knew that they wanted to make a purchase of some sort. They wanted to put it in their hands.
So your store is your warehouse.
It's
mostly, right?
Well, the store is 1/3 the size of our building, actually. So we have 6,200 total square feet of retail, and we have about 10,000 square feet of warehouse. So
Wow. There's
still a lot behind the scenes you don't see.
Yeah.
But we've definitely stocked out the retail store near its capacity.
Well, Chuck's Boots is like that because they have everything on the shelf. They have no storage. If you've been into their store, it's like, wow, there is that many boots. So that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
So a lot of people really excited about the beginning of rifle season. I would imagine that you guys have all the gear, all the guns, everything to equip a hunter that is going out there. Has that been a big part of the business here lately, people gearing up for hunting season?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, historically in the firearms industry, that end of August, 1st of September, you know, those that enjoy the outdoors and the hunting side of business and as a sport kind of get the bug and the itch, right? And we start to see cooler weather, football turns on, hunting season's close. Mm-hmm. If you're as giddy as a geek like I am, you start getting your camo out and you start, like, putting outfits together. It's total schoolgirl. But you start really getting that bug. And so, therefore, the business starts to increase and you start to understand that, okay, I can go out in early teal duck season and then this, and then you got archery deer, now rifle deer coming up.
Yeah.
And so we see a good amount of increase, people looking to change out their scopes. Last year they dropped the rifle or they just couldn't see through it, or this year they think they're going to shoot that number one first, you know, largest buck they've ever killed at an extra 100 or 200 yards.
Yeah.
I need to see further, better. In my case, I'm just getting older and I can't see very well.
So I'm there.
You start to shift some of that. New calibers, that's always a fun part of the firearms is, hey, last year this caliber that I used was great, but I want to hit something and do a better job with it, more accuracy, more power, whatever.
Yeah. So. What about the weather? Like you said, it went from, I mean, last weekend we were at a Veterans Day parade on Sunday of last weekend and it was 70 degrees right. And sunny and we were like in t-shirts.
Yeah.
And then the next day it was 10 and there was snow on the ground.
I learned real quick that I am nowhere near fat enough for this cold weather. I am an absolute wimp.
How does it affect your
but
hunting?
It's fantastic for the hunting aspect.
Is it okay?
Because what starts to happen is as that colder weather starts to blend in, we start to see the deer themselves will start to change, and they'll start to see that things are coming up. It'll change some of their feed patterns. It will change the rut. And the rut has historically always, at a certain 2 to 3 week time period. You'll start to see some of that interaction start to happen earlier. And I'm from out west, and so that also changes a lot of things for anybody that's, you know, maybe thinking about going out west for elk and things like that. That colder weather kicks in a lot of things a lot faster. And it's a really good sign. So with your moon phases, and your weather and your cold shift that's going to change some patterns feeding earlier and later. And so it can have some real positive effects on certain areas, and others it could be a little bit of a drawback. But
I think I asked if you had deer stands, and I think you said no.
We currently don't. No.
Okay. Do you have deer? Do you have deer calls and duck calls?
We don't. So okay. Currently, we our side of the business hasn't been as heavily involved in the hunting side of the business, other than firearms.
Sure.
And
of
now
course.
With the bigger retail store, optics rings basis for that, the ammunition, mm-hmm. And more firearms accessories. We've been selling a lot of tripods and bipods that really help aid in the hunting scenario in a blind or on the ground. But as far as the calls and that kind of stuff, that we haven't really dabbled in that much this year. Yeah. And I think part of it is, as we see the increase in the business for that, we're happy to cater to it.
Mm-hmm.
But this will be our first time in Wright City during a hunting season. And so far it's been good. And as we get more, you know, the feedback from the consumer and know that more people are coming in to look for those things, I'm happy to put them in there.
Yeah,
if you've got room.
Right.
We'll find the room.
And John, one thing that I really noticed when I was out there is the knowledge. I mean, you know, Jake is obviously very knowledgeable when it comes to all the aspects of just about every firearm, but in, you know, that all that hunting knowledge as well. The whole staff is like that, though. And so if you go out there and you're buying a rifle or a new scope or some new gear and you have questions about, like, well, what's the best duck call or where can I get a stand, your guys are going to have that information.
Yes,
for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and that was, I think, part of the idea, right? I mean, everybody out there is an expert in firearms and many other things, deep knowledge.
Yes. And you know, individually, I think everybody, really, we have some unique areas of focus where different employees have different interests. And so, you know, I think everybody has a very good broad understanding of nearly everything within the industry. But then some of them are more into long range shooting. So we have one of our guys who excels at long range shooting, and he does a ton, you know, 500 yards and out. And, you know, so that's what he really loves. And then you've got some of the other guys that do more tactical and close range and handgun shooting. So it's kind of runs the gamut. But, you know, it is nice having, you know, the interaction that we can have with our customers now, which is a totally different environment than when we were just an internet, an internet company.
Yeah. Jake, one thing that we get a lot of questions about when it comes to the beginning of hunting season like this is dads with, you know, kids that are, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old, and they want to start bringing them out on those first hunts. What's your advice for people that are coming in and maybe looking for that beginner gun for a kid? They're just trying to introduce somebody to the hunting experience. Like, do you have any like basic advice, or just come out and let's talk about it and we'll figure it out?
Yeah, I mean, it really comes in those situations. It's really a catered to the individual. You know, my daughter who's 12. Really wants to get into the hunting scene. I've had her out and started her off with a little Rimfire 22. You know, is she big enough to jump into a, hey, grandpa's old 30-06? No, not at all. You know, and you don't want those first time experiences to set them backwards. You want it to be an enjoyable. So
that's a great point.
Understanding the size of the individual to cater a firearm to fit comfortably, and then the recoil aspects. And there's some great cartridges out there that could be utilized for hunting, but also just for shooting. And so and different firearm platforms. And so there's really a sit down to sit with the parent and the child and say, okay, what is your main goal? Where's your hunting going to be mostly? And know that, you know, there's a range aspect that's a comfort range. So certain calibers are great for being able to utilize it out to 500 yards, but other ones are really great within 100 yards. And so, you know, there's some historic calibers that are great that most people lean towards. A 243, probably one of the most prevalent whitetail cartridges out there. It's been around forever and a day, and it's a fantastic cartridge. Lends itself to be a little bit softer shooting. Also easier to find a compact rifle, which would be your length of pull. The stock length to the trigger is shorter on a compact rifle, so it may fit somebody that's a little smaller frame, women, wives, or younger children. So there's a lot of good opportunities. It really, it's kids grow and are so different that you kind of have to sit, oh, my daughter's 12. She's this size, but somebody may have a son that's 12 that's bigger than I am. So. Right.
Just listening to you, if you're listening to the show and you're listening to Jake talk, you are so wise, probably way beyond your years, because it really comes down to training a young person how to clean the gun, how to respect the gun, how to shoot the gun, of course. But you got to take the time. My first hunting experience, I'm a little kid. I'm maybe 7, 8 years old. My dad, we're in Arizona in the station wagon in the desert. He hands me a revolver and says, sit on the hood and try and shoot a jackrabbit. No training, never held a gun in my life. This was a long time ago. And he claims I tried to shoot him, but I don't think I did. Never got a jackrabbit. But
tried to shoot your dad or the jackrabbit?
My dad claims to this day I was still trying to shoot him, but I probably was like looking at it. You know, it really comes down to you truly have to train. And even as an adult, I learn every day that I'm around my guns. I'm learning how to clean it this way or that way. It does take a lot of time, and your staff can help do that, right? Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
One more quick question before we have to take a break, but the guys from Osage County Guns are going to stick around, so you should too. Want to get in the next segment, want to get into some of the gun issues that are out there right now. But to wrap up this this sort of hunting discussion, Jake, do you have, or either one of you, do you have an opinion? I know everybody... I know the answer is you know your kid and you know what they're, you know, everybody's kid is a different maturity level. Some 10-year-olds are more like a 15-year-old and some 15-year-olds are more like a 10-year-old. But do you have an opinion on, like, when is the right age to start taking somebody out hunting and shooting and that sort of stuff? You have a time, like a window maybe?
My personal opinion is the sooner the better.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that they go and actually have to handle a firearm. But to understand and learn the woods, to understand and learn to be patient, to be quiet, mm-hmm. to be able to sit still for more than 2 seconds. I love my
That's
kids.
That's what I go through with my kids on the bass boat.
Exactly.
Patience.
And, you know, I've got four daughters, and we just had a little boy. He's 6 weeks. And so I have been able to take my older girls, and just sit in the blind with me on a hunt. For 4 hours, right? I'm not going to torture them for an 8-hour sit. I can't sit for 8 hours because I'm a Western boy. So this sitting all day is weird. But to go and sit for 4 hours for a little a young child in a cold environment can be a bit daunting. So yeah. It's no plans on them hunting. I'm hunting. They're with me. And do I expect to see anything that night? No, I'll be ready if something happens. But it's really just the introduction,
right?
And spending one-on-one time, and that's the biggest part. Is just spending the time as a family together is the greatest portion. But and over time, so I say the youngest you can get them out and start acclimating them into the world, the better.
Good stuff. All right, the guys from Osage County Guns are going to stick around. Got another segment of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors coming up. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with my partner, Bo Matthews. Chad Ellis, producer to the stars, is here as well. And John and Jake from Osage County Guns have been nice enough to come in and join us in the studio this week. Real quick, we'll do this again at the end, but how can people, we talked about Osage County Guns, beautiful 6,000 square foot, huge retail store out there in Wright City. How can people find you on the web and social media and all that stuff?
Sure. Obviously, we're all over the internet, so our name isn't the easiest to spell, though. We encourage Google, Osage County Guns, and we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, Instagram. We've got some presence on YouTube. And obviously, we'd encourage you to check out our website. It shows the majority of the inventory, specifically in firearms, and a lot of the other accessories that we carry and have in stock. You can see it's in stock. So if you're looking for something very odd or special or a new release, you can see the stock status on our website before you come out, and you'll know it's available, and you'll be able to put it in your hands and see it.
As you're building the culture of your new fan base, new customer base, do you do anything as far as a wallet?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Fame for hunters, pictures, anything like that?
You know, this is our first opportunity as customers have been coming in the store this last 2 weeks, getting ready for this weekend. And we encourage people, whether they're buying their hunting rifle, and I talked to a young kid the other day with his dad buying their hunting rifle, going out hunting for this first season. And
nice.
Hey, we want to be that place that you come after you go home and show mom.
Yeah.
Come by and show us. We encourage people, bring us pictures. Let's see what's going on. We've talked about putting up a little bragging board so people can hang up and see the deer and or targets for groups, you know, whether you're just a sport shooter or a hunter. You know, let us see what you're doing out there, having fun. And, you know, it also kind of gives us a good feed on what's happening out there and where we can help cater to the market.
Very nice.
So how has the, you know, we got to get political, unfortunately, as we get closer and closer, you know, we saw this this impeachment hearing ridiculousness on Capitol Hill throughout the week, and we're closing in on another election year, and we see a crop of Democratic presidential candidates that are to a person the most extreme, in my opinion, gun-limiting, gun rights takeaway, taking away your gun rights more than any group of candidates that I can ever remember. Do your customers, are they afraid of what could happen if a Democrat gets into office? When the closer we get, do they, do you see it affect sales? What's the influence on the business?
The impact is significant, and it's really interesting to see because of our internet presence. We see trends that the average customer would never know exists because even on a statewide level, you know, we're pretty well insulated here in Missouri. So we've got a great conservative, you know, group of politicians that you know, favor and protect the Second Amendment, but it's not the case in a lot of other states. And so we see these trends as different states pass more restrictive legislation, which restricts the rights of law-abiding citizens. And so we see spikes in sales directly tied to that piece of legislation that's being enacted. So we've seen instances in California where there was a court ruling which struck the magazine capacity restriction.
Mm-hmm.
And the run on magazine sales for about a 5-day window is astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
Virtually every magazine in our building that held more than 10 rounds was sold and shipped to California.
Wow.
During that period of time.
Wow.
And we were digging out boxes of magazines in the warehouse that were, you know, old stock, damaged packaging. The magazines were fine, but customers were just saying, "What do you have? I will buy it. No questions asked."
I'll take anything you got.
So now we're seeing and hearing news that I believe Virginia is one of the next to pass some. What sounds like they're going to go after some very strict legislation. And so what we see is we start to see this uptick in sales.
Mm-hmm.
And we see, you know, broadly looking at data, we see the shipments into these states. And so you have these customers that are worried, that live in these states, that just they buy out of panic. They buy out of fear that,
yeah,
they're going to lose the ability. And it wasn't something they were going to buy maybe this year. Maybe it was a purchase that was planned for down the road.
Right.
And now they're having to adjust their buying habits and shift funds into this firearm and all the supporting accessories. So if they buy a rifle, they might want to buy 30 or 40 magazines because they expect those magazines are going to be banned.
We saw that earlier this year with suppressors.
Mm-hmm.
Is there still a run on suppressors? What's going on?
You know, I think a lot of people sat around waiting forever for the Hearing Protection Act to come in and save us and really be. And I thought, I hoped that it would go through and help out, but it never came to fruition. So I think people that were waiting are starting to say, well, there's no point in waiting anymore. And so we've seen a decent uptick in suppressor or silencer sales over the course of the last month, and it looks like they're getting a little better, a little faster. That also helps.
That was my next question. I've heard that the waiting period has in some cases gone down dramatically.
Yeah,
there's no reason to think that that's going to last, but maybe take advantage of that while it's happening.
I mean, before it was 8 months to a year, and now we're seeing them in less than six. Yeah. On an occasion, so
we've actually seen in the last, I would say over the last 30 days, we've seen the average processing time for the tax stamp is 3 months. We've seen the fastest in about 2 months and 14 days.
Yeah, that's incredible.
You and I were in a conversation the other day, and you were talking about suppressors, and I didn't know this. This is, buying a suppressor is a different system or different
That's a great question. That's a great.
I know I'm just kind of entering the show here, but
and there's a lot of people that are like that. They don't understand that buying a suppressor, which is a silencer, you know, if you really, you know, so suppressor, silencer, same
muffler.
Word, same word for the same piece of equipment. It's not like buying a gun. You don't have to just pass the regular FBI background check that takes a day or a matter of minutes. And you can walk out the door because you guys have them there in the mm-hmm. building. So people see them and they think I can buy them and walk out. Go ahead.
Well, no. So the main reason people buy a suppressor is?
Hearing protection. Yeah.
Okay. This is good information. Of course, my mind goes to Hollywood movies and it's like all that stuff, right? I wish I would have known this. I wish that I would have had it available. The first time my then girlfriend, now wife, went out shooting, I was just so excited she wanted to do something I wanted to do. I take her out shooting, no ear protection at all.
Oh.
Her ears rung for 3 days, and I felt so bad.
Yeah.
And
you can do with very few, you know, rounds fired, you can do irreversible damage to your ears.
Yeah.
And so a lot of our parents and grandparents who grew up, they didn't use hearing protection.
Right.
And you talk to the ones that are still living now, and they'll tell you, you know, their hearing is wrecked because of that. And, you know, early on, I was wore protection, but I didn't realize the impact of it until one day there was a situation where I was out in the country and fired a few rounds without protection out of an AR-15, maybe three or four rounds. And I'm confident that that alone was enough to where I occasionally notice some ringing that I know it originated from that one circumstance.
Yeah. Talking to the guys from Osage County Guns, for those who aren't familiar with it, that are thinking to themselves, oh, I thought I could get a suppressor just like I buy a gun. Kind of give the synopsis, the brief, how that works. Like, why is it a longer waiting period?
Yeah, that's a great question.
And how does that work?
The program itself, so silencers, they're on what's called an NFA item. And so because of that, it's registered with the federal government. So you have to fill out a more intense form and have fingerprints, a passport photo included with that, plus a check for $200. Straight to the government.
Mm-hmm.
I, as long as I've been in this industry, have never received an actual clear answer on what takes the government so long to run them, other than they just have stuff to do and they get to it when they get to it. And I've spent a lot of time at ATF and FBI centers over the course of my history in this industry, and there's never been a good resolve or an answer. They've got few people with a lot of background checks to run. And so, you know, you see that time frame and that gets backed up and it just takes a longer time. But then it's, you know, then they have to send you back the approval and it can be a lengthy process. And again, like I said, it used to be, you know, a year plus to get the approvals. And now, I mean, we're seeing them in 3 to 4 months. That's a huge.
But it could go back to that year plus without anybody.
The government shutdown took some time. You know, something like that happens again. Yeah, that's going to all come back.
So maybe take it if that's been one of the purchases that you've, like you mentioned earlier, you know, that maybe it wasn't a this year purchase or, you know, it wasn't something that you wanted, but you're kind of putting off. maybe now's the time to go out and get one while these wait times are so short.
Yeah, it's not going to be a Christmas present for this year.
No, we missed that already.
If you haven't started.
Right.
So what is the background check of that any more different than a firearm? Do we know?
For what we see, it doesn't appear to be that much more because they're still utilizing essentially the same databases. If you can legally own a firearm, we don't see circumstances where you are denied on a suppressor. I think it has as much or more to do with their processes and likely inefficient processes of documenting everything and keying it into their databases because they are, you know, logging the fingerprints.
Yeah.
They are, you know, it's a little bit more information that they're taking than the background check. And that information is transmitted to them, to the ATF, where when you do a background check on a firearm, all the government really sees is that a firearm is being purchased, but they don't see they don't see what model of firearm or the caliber.
Right.
They know that you as an individual are purchasing a handgun or a rifle or an other, but they don't know that you're buying a, you know, AR-15 or a modern sporting rifle or a single shot rifle. All they know is a firearm is purchased.
But the government does know where every suppressor, right?
Yes,
they have know. They know everybody that's ever bought a suppressor, where they bought it from, so they know how many are out there. Way different than, like you're saying, with a with a firearm, with a regular gun.
And if it's about hearing protection, I want to get one for my wife. Heck, I want to get one for myself. Wearing headphones all my career, I'm like half deaf already. But I think I figured out who's behind the delay. It's the hearing aid company lobbyists. That's what it
there
is.
You
could
be
nailed it.
They don't want them.
You're welcome.
Them out there.
And the Hollywood impact is they're scary. They're used by assassins. That is the stereotype that is based on suppressors and has probably single-handedly wrecked the ability for the Hearing Protection Act to pass. And you've got politicians who spread false information and essentially communicate that, you know, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to get a suppressor and then you're going to go use it on somebody so you don't get caught. That's what they're trying to
sell. Yeah, the movies have not done them any justice. Like when you watch John Wick and you see two people having a gunfight in a subway station and nobody else even realizes it's happening because they have silencers on their gun, which makes it, dead silent. You're talking about suppressing the sound by about 25%, right? I mean, isn't that about the average?
Yeah, I was
so it's
say,
still a very the bang is still very prevalent.
And the velocity of the round is a factor because it helps eliminate that pop at the barrel. But if the bullet, you know, is supersonic, then you're still going to get a crack, which is, you know, determined somewhat by the length of the barrel, the velocity, you know, things like that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I didn't want to let the cat out of the bag, but they're not as quiet as they think they are.
No, they are not.
Sorry, I didn't want to ruin it.
Yeah, I like Hollywood. Well, that's learning a lot here on the show today.
No kidding. And that's what we do here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Real quick, guys from Osage County Guns, one more time, website, social media, all that good stuff.
Yep, it's osagecountyguns.com. Google it. It'll autocorrect if you misspell it. And you'll also see right in that Google result, you'll see the links to our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. We pretty much crush the search engine. So if you search for us, you will find us and check us out online.
Even if I punch in Osage Country Guns?
It should autocorrect.
It'll fix it. There you go. Thank you guys so much. Check them out there in Wright City, Osage County Guns. Unfortunately, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We'll see you back here next week for my partner, Bo Matthews, our producer, Chad Ellis. I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.